Thank you for listening to Gospel Power with Pastor R.E. Foster. Zion Rest Missionary Baptist Church is located at 3326 Fasano Trail, Austin, Texas, 78745, near William Cannon off of Brody Lane. To request a copy of today's message or to share your decision to accept Christ, please call our office at 512-892-8880. You can also visit our website at www.zionrestmbc.org for more information regarding our church and our fundamentals. Remember that if you don't go to heaven, it won't be because of what you did. It will be because of what you didn't do. On behalf of Pastor R.E. Foster and the Zion Rest Missionary Baptist Church family, please accept Christ in your life before it's too late.
The book of James, chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So today we want to talk about the great omission. The great omission. Somebody said that if you know better, then you should do better. And when we think about the great omission, I think about that word omission. It means something to be neglected or to be left undone, for something to be neglected or to be left undone. Amen. Unfinished. Incomplete. And the aim of our sermon is for us to see that there are some things that are too important not to do. Amen. There are some things too important not to do. And so, as we look at James, believed to be the half-brother of Jesus, according to Galatians 1:19, definitely the pastor of Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, James, the pastor, writes, whether as an apostle, only because of him being under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the apostles wrote scripture. But this is believed to be his half-brother. There are many James in the Bible. James, the son of Alphaeus, and James, the son of Zebedee, and we won't get into those, but I do want to say that he is writing to James. He identifies himself as a servant in James 1 and 1 of the Lord, and he says that he's writing to the Jews, or the 12 tribes that are scattered. These are Christian Jews that are scattered, not just Jews, but Christian Jews that are scattered throughout the world. We've been talking about God and worldliness, and today we more or less want to focus on God and his will. So therefore, we come to this, and we know that the scripture says that in verse number 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know that God wanted them to be different from the people in the world. He wanted them not to hurt one another. According to James 4 and 1, there were fighting and wars. He wanted them to be holy, according to verse 4 of chapter 4. to be a friend of the world would be an enemy of God's. He wanted them to not be haughty or to have a exalted spirit. In verse 6, it says that God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And he talks about their heart. He said in verse number 8, he wanted them to purify their hearts. He called them double-minded. They had become worldly, and he is trying to get them back to acting the way God wants them to act and doing things the way that God wants them done. He wanted them to be humble. Amen. Not to be haughty in verse 6, but to be humble. He says, humble yourself in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. He wanted them to be humble. He didn't want them to be haters. In verses 11 and 12, he talks about how they were hating their brothers. Amen. And he says they were hating one another. And he says, I don't want you to be haters. I don't want you to be whoring or hustling after the world. In verse 13, I don't want you to be doing things the way the world do them. And he says that he says that remember when you make your plans to keep him in mind. It says, go to now, ye who say today or tomorrow we will go in such and such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Amen. They had the place, they had the period, and they had the prophet all in mind, but God was nowhere in their plans. And so he's concerned about that. And so he says that I want you to include God in your plans and don't be presumptuous, because verse 14 says that you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. What is your life? It is nothing but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. You don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. That's that worldly way of thinking, that when you go and you leave God out and you go on about your business and you ignore the creator of the world and fall in love with his creation down here and all of his creatures, but you don't reverence him. So he said, but that ye ought to say in verse 15, you ought to say, the Lord will. We shall live and do this or that. That's the right focus you should have. If the Lord will, and we live and we shall do this or that. That's the proper way. So stay away from that planning and being presumptuous and do it the proper way that you should do it. And don't be exalted in pride in verse number 16, where he says, that but now ye are rejoicing in your boasting, and all of your boasting is evil. All of it is evil. You're rejoicing in yourself. You are self-confident, and your pride, and you're puffed up, and you're boasting, and you're braggadocious about your ability, and you left God out. And that's the whole problem with this whole text, as we'll hope to see. And he says that all of it is evil. It's not good. It's evil. You're boasting and talking about living your life apart from me and living it without me in mind, you are. It's evil. It's evil. It's not right. It's wrong. One translation says. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. And you find out what therefore is therefore. He says, therefore you should say the Lord's will. In verse 15, he's talking about instead of making your plans without God, you say in verse number 13, go to now, and he interrupts them, and then he intervenes abruptly in a very rude way, and he says, ye ought to say, verse 15, the Lord's will. And that's what that's there for, to help us to understand that we are not to plan or live our lives without God. We should not be guilty of leaving God out. God is someone who should not be overlooked because he's too important and powerful. And we need to get over our independence and pride. And if we take advantage of good opportunities, we can take advantage of them if we don't ignore them, if we are not willing to ignore problems. A lot of people are willing to ignore problems. And so therefore they ignore the problems. And so he says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This just talks about the sin of commission. The sin of omission, rather. We heard about the sin of commission, and we like to point out those sins of commission there. Those sins of commission are sins that are easily seen. They're easily visible. They are easily, it's easy to hold them accountable because they are made known. This sin is a sin that is present. Is public, and there's no question about it when you're committing a sin. But you talk about the sin now of omission. The sin of omission is a sin we should be concerned about. It means that sin is not something that you do, but something that you, not just something you do, but something that you don't do. We focus on the sin that people do, but we ignore the sin they don't do, even in our own personal lives. These sins are sins. Sin is not something that you do. It's something you don't do. It's not something that we have to focus on the fact that he says it is a sin that is the sin of not commission but omission. And this sin is a sneaky sin. It's a sin that slips under the radar. It's a sin that is a silent sin. It's a sin that is a selfish sin. It allows a person to not do something that they ought to be doing. It's a sly, slick, slimy sin. The sin of omission. It stays hid. It's a hidden sin. It's a private sin. It's a sin that is a sin that is it is an invisible sin. You don't see it. It's a sin of omission. It's a sin that is an unaccountable sin. It's a sin that runs loose because of it. It's so sneaky. It gets around. A lot of things in the world are not done because of it. It's a sin that you will never know that it is missing until you see the damage that it's caused. Amen. And you have to put it on the microscope to see the damage that omission has caused. It's so many things that we must not omit, and yet there are times when we do allow things to go unaddressed. Amen. It's a sin of omission has caused more problems, I think, or just as many problems as the sin of commission. And with it gets away with murder, the sin of omission. It gets away with it does damage and our homes, our world, churches. This sin has pervaded it. Because there are a lot of things that would get fixed and don't get fixed. There are a lot of things that don't get fixed that would get fixed if we were, if was not so many things that wasn't for this sin of omission. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, you know better. What was good? What is good? To acknowledge the Lord's will is good. To acknowledge, he says, for him that knoweth to do good. Well, what good is he talking about? It's the opposite of evil in verse 16. What good is he talking about? Well, the good, he says, the good is recognizing God and not taking him for granted. That's the good that he's talking about. He talked about the good in verse 17. He said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, he know better, but he doesn't do better. What is the good that he's talking about? Contextually, he's talking about when they were... It's good to recognize God. It's always good to include God. It's never good not to include God in our plans. We as Christians who live with the consciousness of God, although we don't have to necessarily say the Lord's will every time we open our mouth. Paul, when you look at Acts 18:21, he said that he was going to the feast after he was leaving Ephesus. He was going to Jerusalem. And he says, he told him he'll see them again if the Lord's will. But then you look down in Acts chapter 19, verse 21, he says that Paul, leaving Ephesus, he goes through Macedonia and Achaia, and he goes on to Jerusalem. And then he says, but I must see Rome. But he didn't say if the Lord's will in that verse. But So whether it is 18:21 or 19:21, he's letting us know that God is the one who we are to keep beat consciously in our hearts. Amen. Because we don't know how long we are going to be here. Every day, we don't know. Each day is a gift from God. And we should thank God. We should not ignore God. We should wake up every day acknowledging the fact that God has blessed us. We should thank God. We should get up in the morning thanking God. Every day we should, each day is a gift, and God gave life. He is the one who gives life. He's the one who takes life. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. So we should never forget that, because you have to ask yourself, what would happen in the morning as we see the sun came up today? What would happen in the morning if the sun didn't come up? What would we do? The sun comes up every day. I mean, what happens if for some reason it didn't come up in the morning? Is there anything we can do about it? Can we talk to the city and they do something about it? The environmentalists, who can we talk to? There is nothing. God is in control, absolutely. He is the one that we cannot afford to ignore. We would not be able to drink water without God. God is someone we cannot ignore. I said a little bit about that, I think, in that last little message. But God is the one. So he says that we must recognize that God is the one that's blessing us. God is the one who is, in fact, keeping us. He said, therefore, if you know to do good, you should always acknowledge God. And you cannot ignore God, but there are many opportunities that will be ignored if we don't recognize God. We cannot afford to let the sin of omission run rampant through the world. Amen, amen. When you're talking about the Lord, or whether you're talking about the law, when you're talking about the Lord, or when you're talking about the laws of the land, we cannot let it run rampant. God is love. God wants us to have love. God wants his will to be done. But we cannot just say, I love the Lord, and allow the sin of omission to rob us of the quality that life could be and the blessings we could have because we've ignored God. We cannot ignore the Lord. and we know that we like to worship, we like to praise the Lord, we like to hear the preaching, but the truth is that there's some work to be done also in the church. We like to worship, but we don't like to work. There's a time when there's going to be pain, where people have to pay. We have to, the city didn't give the lights free, and we thank God we have a church that ain't never been a problem, but some churches do. But paying is a part of being a part of the church. We talk about paying. Then we can talk also about problems that will come up in the church. We have to address problems in the church. Amen. And these problems are something that we must address, and we cannot omit. Amen. We cannot omit the bad part and enjoy the good part. A lot of people, amen, they like to omit the problems. Amen. We know that there's business that has to be taken care of. We know that God is the one. Amen. There's unpleasant business to be taken care of. Amen. We know that voting has to be taken care of, but the church is a democracy. So we have to voice, we have to use our vote, because our vote is our official voice. Amen. And hopefully we pray about it, our votes and our voices in the church. But we must understand that we must be willing to vocalize our decisions and choices. And but the truth I'm trying to get us to understand is that it's a democracy, but we just can't have the worship without the work. And so it is with the world. Amen. Amen. We think about the world. The world is a wonderful place, and we'd like to just enjoy God's world, entertainment and enjoyment, and have vacations. But the truth of the matter is, this is a wonderful world, but then there is a lot. Then there's times we have to get down to work. We have to get down to business. Amen. There's an unpleasant side of the world that we must deal with. There is the somebody got to go to work. There's an economic side of it. Then we think about the problems and the evils that are in the world. We know that not only will people have to go to work, but we have to understand that there are unpleasant things. There is all kind of things in the world, and the world too is a democracy. We have to again vote. We have to vote, because voting is our voice in the world, and voting is something is our power. Amen. We have a right. That's a right that others have died for. We must vote. Amen. Our vote is our voice, and not to vote. We must recognize that we're sinning against our community when we don't, because he that knoweth to do good, amen, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We must pay our taxes. Amen. That's biblical. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Amen. Matthew 22:21. We know that we have to be subject to authority in Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to a higher power. Verse 8 said, owe no man nothing but to love him. That's the only thing that you should ever have, to love your fellow man. Amen. And we must pay the taxes. We must be civic. And only when the world's government comes in conflict with God, according to Acts 5:29, Paul says we ought to obey God rather than man. We must obey God always. He's always as a higher rank. He's a higher authority. Amen. Man has power, and we must obey the government. But the truth is that God, God is a higher authority. And he said that I have put these people in place. I allowed it. I permitted it to happen. And so you be subject to it. Amen. That's what he says. I know you probably don't like that part, but truth is that God says that I want you to recognize that voting is, we live in an evil world, but if we won't, we have good opportunities, but if we won't ignore problems, amen, amen. A lot of people will ignore problems, but if you're going to make a difference in the world, you got to create some problems sometimes. And that's why people don't like to go to the polls. They say it doesn't matter, and they're bickering and are fighting. People don't like to go to church meetings. They don't like to vote. They don't like to vote. They don't like to vote. And Satan runs amok because persons won't go out and vote. And it's, you're omitting a blessing. This is what God has set in place, and this is a democracy, and God allows you, organizations, to operate. Well, the truth is that there are problems, but Martin Luther King, he got into trouble because there were problems, didn't he? Martin Luther King got into trouble. He would not omit injustice, racism and inequality and the things that are plaguing the ills of our society, the social ills, the mental, spiritual ills. Amen. We have, but Martin Luther King stood up, and there's a place to stand up, speak up, and not shut up. And there's a place for us to stand up for what is right. Amen. We need to get in what this other congressman called good trouble. Amen. Are you willing to get into good trouble? Amen. We went all over the world when Congressman Lewis, John Lewis. Good trouble is something that will make the world a good place. Amen. Speaking up, standing up, and voting and standing against evil. Understand that whenever you vote, whenever you fight, you are coming against the evil forces of this world. Because at the end of the day, it's about the evil forces of this world. God wants us to get involved. We cannot ignore the worst side of humanity, the bad side of humanity. Amen. God is calling us to speak up, amen. But not to vote is what is, I would call, the sin of silence. It's a sin against your community, amen. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. That means when you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, you're guilty of sinning against that community. You're guilty of sinning against the Lord when you don't want to do the Lord's will, amen. Whether you're talking about the Lord or whether you're talking about the law of the land, it does not matter. God is saying that we must not be quiet. It's a sin to be quiet. Amen. In many instances. Tantamount to sin. God is saying, you must speak up. You can't even see someone lying in a ditch or who have had a wreck as a civilian and drive by and not say a word to them. You must render aid. That's against the law to not render aid from your brother. Amen. It's a sin not to love one another. It's a sin not to love your neighbor. It's a sin to have hatred running. Hatred is a sin. It's a sin not to want to obey God and to do his will. You can't do it without sinning. And God is telling us today what we should do. Amen. Sister Dean closes out our radio program when she does do it. We have different persons on there, but when she does it, she says at the end of her program, she says, if you don't go to heaven, it won't be because of what you did. No. It won't be because of what you did, but it will be because of what you didn't do. People will be in flames forever throughout eternity because of what they didn't do. I can imagine two people in hell saying, that, you know, why are you here? How did you get in here? How did you get down here? What are you in for? You know, when I was in jail, they said, what you coming here for? What got you in jail? A long time ago, in my hometown that I love, Neely Station, amen. He says, back in the Denmark area, Tennessee, he says, why did you get in here? Me and my buddy Chester was out. And he said, why did you get in here? He said, well, the truth of the matter is that one demon could say to the one person down there could say, well, you know, I didn't do anything to get down here. I didn't do nothing to get down here. What did you do to get down here? Nothing. Nothing. Right. I didn't do nothing because he's paid for all of our sins. But it's not what I did. I'm down here burning in flames for throughout eternity because I didn't do something. Because of the sin of omission. Somebody said, if you know better, then you ought to do better. There are some things, my ladies, brothers and sisters, that you cannot afford not to do. Amen. And I know that's a double negative, but there are some things that you cannot afford not to do. And God is calling us to action. Amen. We must be, it's not the thing that we do, but it's the thing that's hurting us that we don't do. A lot of things will get fixed if we do not omit certain things. I'm glad that Jesus Christ came and he did not, but amen, he saw a problem and he didn't just look over it. He didn't just say, I don't want to get involved. Amen. He didn't just walk around and ignore the problem. Amen. No, God calls us up. He calls us. And those Christians have become so worldly, they begin to think like the world, act like the world, live like the world, do like the world, and they were not, amen, doing the things that they should have been doing. But I'm so glad that Jesus didn't ignore the fact that I needed to be saved. And there are so many today that need it. They need salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Get in trouble. Amen. Good trouble. When you look at 1 Peter, and I'm fixing to stop. 1 Peter 3 and verse 14, it says, Peter there writes, and he says that if you suffer for righteousness' sake, then happy are ye. Are you suffering for something good or something bad? If you suffer for something bad, you deserve to suffer for it. But Peter talks about a suffering that is for righteousness. I'm standing up, I'm suffering, I'm fighting for righteousness. Amen. Jesus says that you're blessed in Matthew 5:10. Amen. When you are persecuted for righteousness. Amen. A lot of times people leave the church. They leave the places because they suffered. They did me wrong. Well, that's when the blessing is going to come in. God is keeping tabs of all the people. People are suffering for doing good. They're suffering for righteousness. Oh, I wish I had Lamar on the piano. Father, we thank you right now for your goodness and grace. We thank you for those who are listening. We pray that you would pour into their spirits what you wanted me to say that just can't ever seem to get right. I pray for every listener, somebody that don't know you, I ask now that you would help them to give their lives to you, and that they would, today says, I want to connect with the Spirit, and I want to be a Christian. I confess that I'm a sinner and there's something missing, but I'm asking you now to come in and fill the void. Somebody said, we got a hole in our soul without you. There's something missing. But you put eternity in our hearts, and we there's a yearning and a burning for salvation. So I pray, Lord, for those who are listening, those who are watching, I just ask now that they would open up. And we know, Lord, the world is hungry for the living bread. And we want to lift the Savior up. But we know one day this will all be over. One day, our Father, we're going to have to leave this old world. But we have another home. You said, let not your heart be troubled. Thank you. Brother Morris has gone on home. We didn't get a chance to have a service for him, but we thank you for Ernest, Lord. His family, ask, Lord, that you continue to meet their needs and help them know that their dad is in a better place. And not only that, he's in the best place. He's in a blessed place. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Now receive the benediction over your life. May the Lord bless thee. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his countenance to shine upon thee. Lift his countenance upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Amen. May the Lord give you his peace in the name of Jesus. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him he's guilty of sin. In Jesus' name, may the blessings of the Lord now be upon you. Receive it by faith. Have a happy day and a holy day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Gospel Power with Pastor R.E. Foster in the Zion Rest Missionary Baptist Church. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." That, my friend, is the gospel. Our prayer is that you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Please open your heart, receive him today, and share with us your decision. If you are not already a part of a church family, we welcome you and your family. Zion Rest Missionary Baptist Church is located at 3326 Pisano Trail, Austin, Texas, 78745, near William Cannon off Brody Lane in beautiful Southwest Austin. To request a copy of today's message or share your decision to accept Christ, please call our church office at 512-892-8880. Or visit our website at www.zionrestmbc.org for more information regarding our church and our fundamentals. On behalf of Pastor R.E. Foster and the Zion Rest Missionary Baptist Church family, always remember that God loves you.